Hello, everybody. How are you doing today? You are listening to Julian Nickum on CKMS 102.7 FM on Waterloo, Ontario, radiowaterloo.ca on the web. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative grant program and is funded by the Communal Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. You can access these recordings of this show at radiowaterloo.ca/news. We are doing this program because the mainstream public and private media does not provide in-depth analysis or reliable coverage on many issues that have impacts on our local communities. Specifically, this project will work to fill in the missing information and to spread a more robust analysis about the intersections of homelessness, poverty, displacement, mental health, and the war on drugs and safer consumption initiatives. Our communities are receiving a limited narrative of these issues through existing news sources. Each week, the Local Journalist Initiative reporters will produce and broadcast two pieces exploring these intersections. Coverage will include council meetings, committees, and public consultations, interviews with politicians, services and support providers, and those with intimate experience with the issues. This week, we are reporting on a public meeting on Lot 42 and the opening up of Lot 42 as a site for the homeless. After I explain what went on at the meeting, I will be talking to Nadine Green, Heather Majori, and Ron Doyle. Nadine Green was a downtown store owner who used her store as a place to house homeless people as well as provide them with employment until the city and other forces shut her down. As a result of this, resistance was built, and Heather Majori came on board as an Indigenous activist who found common cause with Nadine in terms of the plight of homeless people. This collaboration touched the heart of landlord Ron Doyle, who donated his property, Lot 42, for Nadine and Heather and other like-minded activists to use to solve the housing crisis. Ron Doyle did this unprecedented move of donating his land as a result of the fact that the city is not doing enough around the housing crisis with the outbreak of corona. Homeless people more than ever are in need of a place to go, and if the city will not provide the space, Ron took it upon himself to provide the space. The meeting was attended by 30 people. Groups present at the meeting included local Indigenous organizations, the Working Centre, Sanguine, the region, local health department, as well as grassroots anti-poverty and tent city activists. The purpose of the meeting was to address the local homelessness problem in the age of COVID by creating a sanctioned tent city. This sanctioned tent city consists of a tent city outside in the field of Lot 42, and given the size of land, different communities will set up where they are comfortable. So, for example, there would be one part for a so-called noisy tent city for those who want to talk at night, and there would be an older folks tent city, and so on, with social groups not being forced to live with people not in their social group. Inside, there is about 100 washrooms and urinals, showers, and other amenities. There are several rooms. One room is a hangout room, another is a sports room with basketball nets, indoor soccer fields, etc. There's also a room equipped with sound, with a projector for throwing movie screenings, music shows, etc. A bar, cafe, a meeting room, and art room are also available. These rooms will be available to the occupants of the tent city and the general public. The people at the meeting then discussed what needs to be done to open up the space as soon as possible, and after discussion, which I will go into, it was agreed that it must open that night. The first issue that came up with was the coronavirus and what must be done to make sure that this place would not be a nest or hotbed for the virus. Since the place expects 250 occupants, it was decided that the project would be taken slowly so the kinks and logistics could be worked out. It is agreed that the project will first focus on dealing with 15 people And once the logistics for these people would be worked out, it would only be a matter of replicating these logistics on a bigger scale. Issues such as having on-site healthcare workers as well as TAF was discussed and approved. Healthcare workers would address issues faced by the homeless community as well as issues that affect the community as large, such as COVID. The need for collectively enforced social spacing was discussed, as well as making masks, clean bedding, etc. available to people. In terms of drug use, it was agreed that addiction is an important issue affecting the homeless community, and this space should make sure that the health needs of the drug community be met. This could be done in a variety of ways, ranging from providing safe drives to the safe injection site to having a safe injection site policy on site. Most importantly was the idea that the site should be run by the people themselves on a community work model as opposed to a social service model, and this would be achieved by having a meeting where the running of the place will be decided, particularly day-to-day issues and serious conflicts. That way, people using the site will be the ones who have a say on how the site is run. The meeting finished by electing 6 people to spearhead different aspects of the logistics. 3 people that attended the meeting, Nadine Green, Heather Majori, and Ron Doyle. Here is what they have to say about the meeting.
We all met here with the mayor and a few other people. And it was a good meeting.
So what happened in this meeting?
I guess they were talking about providing a tent city for 250 people here at this location.
And what is this location?
Lot 42.
Lot 42, which is, what is the address?
It's 41 Arden in Kitchener.
And can you tell us from your own experience why there is a need for such a place right now?
Because I'm the owner. I am the owner of the Duke Corner store, and my store was closed down because I was helping the homeless, and now people are scattered all over, and they're just have nowhere to go. Some people who don't want to stay at the shelter are still sleeping outside. So this place will be perfect for people who are kicked out of the shelter and also for people who don't want to go into the shelter. And those people like staying in tents and like sleeping in hallways or wherever.
Okay, so this would be a place for people who have nowhere to go to come and have a place to sleep. What else could happen in this space?
They could feel like home. It could feel like home. It looks like it could be a home for a few people. And they could feel welcome, I guess. I don't know. They could feel welcome. They could have food here. And just a place to go to without being kicked out. That's the issue with a lot of homelessness. People are getting kicked out. They stay at the shelter. They got to leave at 8 o'clock. This place would be, they don't have to leave. Or leave if you want to. Not being kicked out.
So people would have a place to go, to stay, and to do what they need to do.
Right. And then eventually if they have a place like this where they're not being kicked out, not being chased away, then eventually they will get into the workforce or start getting back their life back.
So people who want to get involved, how can they get involved?
They can donate, or they can come and have a look. They can probably visit the site, or they can just open their hearts. And and a website is coming soon, so they could go online.
So then people could go online, see what's needed, and then come and that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's
all. And how does COVID impact on this? Like people having a place or not having a place, and the shelters and all of this.
Because in COVID, they're telling everybody, you know, stay home, stay inside. But the people who are homeless, they have no place to stay. And when they stay in the shelter, as I said, they're being kicked out in the daytime. And with this place, then they'll have their place where if anything happens, they can stay inside for 2 weeks or whenever.
So this could provide people with nowhere to go during COVID with a place to go without harassment from police or other such forces.
That's right. And, you know, that's right.
And, okay, thank you very much. What is your name?
My name's Heather Majuri.
What happened today?
Well, what happened today was we had a meeting in at Lot 42, and it was pretty exciting. It looks like we have a group of community-based individuals, organizations, and people who just give a damn. And it looks like we're going to be able to hopefully organize a tent city that works, that's what they're calling a better tent city because of the facilities that are here at this location.
And what is your interest in this?
My interest in this is that I believe housing is a human right, and I want to see everybody in this community housed, and I don't think it should be something that is considered a luxury.
And is there a lack of housing in Kitchener?
You betcha. There is no housing in Kitchener right now that is affordable and accessible, and we need units so badly that unless we have a place for transitional housing to allow people to at least get out of the cold enough to then be able to possibly transition into other affordable units while we deal with an economy that has run out. It's crazy. It's a crazy economy. You know?
Speaking of the economy, how has COVID impacted on homelessness and poverty?
Well, I think COVID has impacted on homelessness and poverty in the way that all lack of access does, which is those that don't have access to shelter, food, and clothing, and places to go to the washroom even, are going to be more at risk of getting the virus. They're going to be more at risk from complications to the virus, and they are also going to be in situations where they can spread the virus as well without knowing it, like most of us are in, but most of us have houses and we can like hang out in the living room while the other people hang out in whatever other rooms, and that's not an option for someone who doesn't have that. But this place, this Lot 42, is large, and there's room for social distancing while still keeping a sense of community and being able to operationalize the logistics necessary so that everybody has the material circumstances they need to not just survive in the long run, we pray, but to thrive.
What are some of the logistics that were sorted out today?
Well, there's a lot of logistics, and I'm sure we're just beginning to talk about them, so there's going to be just a lot of things. We have to deal with healthcare, and we have to deal with practicals like supplies. We have to deal with self-government, actually, how people are going to organize and how they're going to respect one another, while we also deal with the fact that people are definitely going to need things like a safe injection site. So, and that's not a matter of entertainment, that's a matter of survival. So there's so many things, food preparation, food delivery, all those things, and just setting up. So I think what we're starting with, and we'll know by the time you go to air, we'll have a better sense of those first 15 people that perhaps get to call this home.
So who are these first 15 people and why are they important?
Well, we don't know who they are yet.
Okay.
All we know is that we can plan for around the first 15 people with all of the different things that need to come into place that then can be replicated for more. And so that gives us a starting point. But seriously, we're just in the beginning stages. So by the time you air, this is going to look completely different. It almost mirrors in some ways, I think, the entire response to COVID, which is every 24 hours, things shift and you learn more. We're going to probably make mistakes, but we're going to learn from those and we're going to build from those as well. Or that's the hope. I mean, literally, it was a group of people that came together today, and we are still processing even what this could mean, what this is. It's beyond many of our dreams and our capacities to even have envisioned what's possible. So we need to act immediately, but also use our abilities to think and caution and create logistics that work.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, can you tell us your name and why you are giving this space, why you think it's important?
My name's Ron Doyle, and I believe in helping people. It's that simple. And people say, ask me questions like, well, how come you're so concerned about homeless people? And my answer is, it's a very fine line in life, and I could be homeless. I want to make goddamn sure there's a place for me.
So tell us what happened here today.
It looks like we found a place to help solve a social problem of a place for unsheltered people.
This episode featured a report back from the April 15th, 2020 community organizing meeting in Kitchener to address the coronavirus pandemic in respect to the homeless population and to implement immediate measures to mitigate the impact. The meeting was held at Lot 42 Events and Conference Campus, and among other things concluded with the announcement of the establishment of the tent city on Lot 42. We also spoke with three attendees of the meeting to gain their perspective. First was former proprietor of the Duke Corner Store and anti-poverty activist Nadine Green. Second was artist and Indigenous rights activist Heather Majuri. And lastly was a few quick comments from owner of Lot 42, Ron Doyle. For more information on the tent city, including ways to support it, you can visit the following websites. My Mother Named Me Sunshine.ca, or on social media on Twitter at UnshelteredC. You can also find on Facebook and Instagram at Unsheltered Campaign. Thank you very much for listening. You have been listening to a program by Julian Ickham of the CKMS Newsroom from 102.7 FM in Waterloo, Ontario, radiowaterloo.ca on the web. Check out the archived versions of this program and other episodes on radiowaterloo.ca/news. You can follow us on Twitter at Radio Waterloo and the hashtag CKMS News. And you can email news@radiowaterloo.ca to get in touch with comments or ideas about the stories to cover. Thank you very much for listening.